Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. In this episode, we're talking 50 years of disability inclusion and artistic expression with Gateway Arts. This program is one of the longest running programs of its kind in the United States, and it focuses on empowering adults with disabilities through art. Today, we'll hear from Gregory Liakos, the director of Gateway Arts. We discuss the organization's journey, explore the connections this program has with the community, and discuss the valuable mentorship offered by established artists. Gateway Arts has provided a supportive environment that fosters artistic growth and exploration while still allowing artists to receive recognition for their work and achievements. So let's dive right in to hear more about Gateway Arts from Gregory. Welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. Today we are joined by Gregory Liakos, the director of Gateway Arts. Gregory, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So before we go into Gateway Arts and all the great work being done through the organization, can you tell us a little bit about you, your background, your experiences?
So I grew up here in Massachusetts. I've spent my whole life here around Boston. And I started my career as a journalist out of college and covered, among other things, the arts and transitioned into a career in the arts with a position at a museum north of Boston in Salem, Massachusetts. And from there, I went into public service for the Massachusetts Cultural Council, which is our state agency that supports the arts and humanities in Massachusetts. And over that time, I learned a lot about the public value of the arts, which extends from health and well-being for individuals to economic prosperity to enlivening education for young people, and really came to be passionate about the role of art and creative expression in people's lives. Then a position was offered to me here at Gateway Arts to take my experience and my knowledge and my passion and apply it to serve adults with disabilities who can benefit from arts services.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing a little bit about you. Since we transitioned to Gateway Arts anyway, can you tell our listeners what Gateway Arts is and its mission to provide professional development for adults with disabilities within the art world?
So this is a very special place, Gateway Arts. It was created just almost exactly 50 years ago in the early years of what we know now as deinstitutionalization, when a lot of adults were coming out of state hospitals, big state hospitals in the case of Massachusetts. And the founders of the program had, a really powerful vision. They said, look, you know, these people, of course, they deserve housing and support and places to go, but they also deserve the right to a creative life, to creative expression, to art, to all the things that we in many ways take for granted, to experience music and painting and sculpture and the opportunity to create and perhaps even make a living as an artist. And so that was the founding vision for the program 50 years ago. It started in a basement in Boston with 8 artists and a couple of staffers. And over that time, we've grown substantially. So today, it's a very dynamic studio art environment where currently we have a roster of almost 100 artists. They come from across Greater Boston. They work in 8 dynamic studios, from painting and drawing to sculpture and folk art and weaving and fabric. They sell it in a store that's very popular here in our neighborhood in Brookline, Massachusetts, a suburb of Boston. And they exhibit their work in a gallery where we have shows, exhibitions, public programs. And the core of the work in the studios is between the artist and a group of art facilitators who are there really not so much to teach, but to guide and allow each individual artist to direct and pursue his or her own creative vision. And so it's very much a program that's grounded in the idea that art is a uniquely powerful way for anyone, and in particular, persons with disabilities who may in other contexts feel disempowered, to take control of their own story and tell their own story and share it with the world.
I appreciate you sharing how Gateway Arts has kind of evolved over the years, because I think I'd read it was one of the longest running programs in the country of this type of design, which is really incredible that it's been 50 plus years at this point. So that's really great how it's kind of gone through such a big transition, but still maintained that essence of the importance of empowering people with disabilities through art. Because you're right, it's such an empowering field to be able to fully express yourself, to have your own voice, to have your own style and viewpoint and everything. So that's really great that Gateway Arts has that opportunity. You had mentioned a couple of the spaces and things like that. So what are some of the key programs that happen within Gateway Arts as it exists today?
So I describe the place as a sort of a beehive. So you can imagine in the morning, vehicles pulling up from all places between 8:30 and 9, dropping the artists off. It's essentially a studio workshop. So an artist on a Monday may be working in fabric, creating some clothing. The next day, he or she could be painting. The next day, creating some sculpture, doing group work, doing work for an exhibition. So that's kind of the core of the program, the work they do in the studios each day. And then we have, as I mentioned, a robust gallery exhibition program. In the coming year, we'll have probably a dozen exhibitions here in our gallery and in spaces around Greater Boston, other galleries, college, university galleries. This past year, we had an exhibition of our artist's fabric work at the Fuller Craft Museum, which is one of the country's oldest craft museums. Very, very popular. We do those kinds of exhibition partnerships with museums and galleries around the region. That's a big part of the program, the gallery exhibition program, and the work that's created for those shows. And then, of course, I mentioned the store. And the store is really, it's our public face. It's our retail expression of the artist's work. And we sell probably about $100,000 per year of our artist's work in the store and online. It has an online presence. And we do a big holiday fair every year. We just had our holiday fair earlier this December, where in one day we sold a little over $11,000 worth of artist's work. So folks will come in and buy jewelry, Christmas ornaments, clothing, and then, of course, the more traditional art products like paintings and drawings. And the store is just a really vibrant, colorful, visually fascinating place. It's a meeting place. It's a place that is beloved by many who have been shopping there for many, many years. And for our artists, it's an important affirmation of their professionalism when they sell work. And it doesn't have to be a lot, you know, and this is true of artists everywhere from whatever walk of life. When someone purchases something that you've put your heart and soul into creating, they've told you that it's of value. That's a wonderful feeling to have as a creator. And so the store is a really important element of our program.
And I took a look at the online component of your store. Obviously, since I'm not from the area, I would have loved to go see it in person. And it's really interesting how many different varieties of mediums there were, and then the types of work that are being produced. It was really incredible to see just the wide variety.
Yeah, it really is. And that's the thing. You know, you walk into that store, if you've never been there before, your eyes just widen, because you say to yourself, I've never been in a place quite like this. And of course, everything is handmade, you know, is made with the care that comes with an artist's creation. And you know that right away, that you're in a special place. This is not your typical retail establishment. It's very powerful.
You could really see all the unique voices, I'm sure, in your various pieces. Definitely not like a mass produced.
Exactly, yeah.
So for a typical artist at Gateway Arts, you had mentioned kind of like their week by week, they might be working in different mediums. From when they first joined Gateway Arts, you know, through their career development, what does a typical journey look like for an artist?
It does differ pretty substantially depending on the individual. So, for example, we're going to be opening a show because it's our 50th anniversary. We created a series of programs under an umbrella phrase that we call Art of the Possible. So our exhibition schedule looks at our artists over different periods or through different sort of chronological lenses. And our next show is called Beginning, and it's focused on artists from our early years. And remarkably enough, two of our artists who are still here working and creating amazing work every day, Carmela Salvucci and Sidney Perry, were here at the beginning, 1973. So these are two artists, you know, truly elder statesmen of the art world in Greater Boston, really very different backgrounds, very different styles, but both truly remarkable artists. So their journey has been literally a half a century with us. I've only been here a year and a half, so I don't know as much about each of their trajectories, but you know, they've been pretty consistent. Their styles have been pretty consistent, but they've journeyed into different media. They've approached work differently over the decades and obviously have grown, each of them in different ways. So that's one end of the spectrum. The other is we have a cohort, probably five or six artists who are just coming out of the public school system here in Massachusetts. And in Massachusetts, if you're a student with a disability, you can stay within the schools till you're 22. So they have a program called Turning 22 in Massachusetts where, you know, you transition into adulthood and into relative independence. And so we have a cohort of new artists who want to make their mark and develop a career as an artist. And they're just starting out and developing styles, exploring new media, kind of learning the ropes of what it's like to participate in a program like this. So there really is quite a wide range of experiences. But I would also say that what's similar about all of our individual artists is that each of them is given an opportunity to set goals for themselves, both artistic professional goals and also personal goals. Each of them has a case manager on our staff here. So that case manager works very closely with them, their families, their network of support, not just Gateway, but our partner organizations, partner families, so that each person is sort of given the opportunity to create a pathway and define their own success.
I appreciate that you have those connections built, but you're not just like a separate entity. You're kind of all collaborating together, which is really nice to see, and I'm sure helpful as well.
Yeah, that's true. And I didn't mention the Gateway is a program of VinFem, which is a very large behavioral health nonprofit here in Massachusetts. So when we need help, for example, if we have someone, say, on the autism spectrum who's really struggling, who needs some extra support, we can tap into experts to give that person the extra support they need. That's a real benefit of our program too.
Oh, that's really great that there's that kind of connection. I did want to mention, because you discussed it a little bit before when you were talking about some of the work specifically in the studios, you had mentioned the professional mentoring process that kind of happens within the studio and how the mentors are more facilitators as opposed to teachers. Can you like describe what their typical role would be within that process? Like how would they work to support some of the artists coming through Gateway Arts?
It is a little hard to describe. It's best understood by seeing it in three dimensions, but it really ranges from the simple act of just saying, what do you want to work on today, Jane? And that starts a conversation. Oh, and these facilitators know these artists deeply. You know, they understand what their goals are. They've worked on that goal setting together. So the goal may be, for example, to sell a certain number of works in the store this year. Okay, what do we know it sells, right? We know jewelry sells this time of year. Okay, what do you like? You want to work on some beading. Okay, I know your style is to approach the beading process this way. Why don't we try it like this? It becomes a real dialogue. And again, you know, the idea that the artist is leading that conversation, the facilitator is there to guide, to help, to bring the materials, to bring some context, to maybe offer some options for meeting that set of goals. It is as simple as that kind of conversation. But it also, as I've seen over time, the conversations can get very, very profound in the sense that sometimes artists are, say, they're experiencing grief. We had an artist recently here who lost her mother in a car crash. And another artist who was very close to her came up to one of the facilitators and said, listen, I really want to create a work in her honor. That's great. Let's think about what would resonate with her. And you know, what would be meaningful to her? What's your vision? Those kinds of conversations happen to her. You know, it just could be something joyful. You know, the holidays are coming. I want to create something for my family that they're going to remember.
Well, that's really nice to see the different types of dialogue that would exist between an artist and the mentor. I appreciate really the emphasis that you're placing on that collaboration, as opposed to, like you mentioned, instead of just like, I'm going to teach you how to do something, it's more of a discussion, which, you know, art so often is like discussion.
Over time, the creative process then sort of blossoms out, I think, in that person's life, and they begin to see new possibilities for their own capacity for decision making and change and growth.
And you mentioned a little bit about the relationship that Gateway Arts has with the organizations, the family within an artist's life. But I did want to touch on the integration between the artists and the surrounding community. So you had mentioned the store, but I was just curious, how does the studio environment help to foster and build those connections between artists and the surrounding communities within Boston or the, you know, the greater Boston area?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's something we're working on quite a bit these days. So I guess the first way I would answer that question is that it's inherent in art that it is a means for communication, right? And so through the gallery program, through the store, through our online presence, through the stories we tell, through our multimedia channels, I think what we're able to do with our artists is not only and primarily share their stories and share their creative visions, but in doing so also to break down stereotypes, break down barriers between disabled and non-disabled people, to look at, you know, art as a vehicle to look at ourselves as human beings first and foremost. I think it inherently does that. But I think we also have to be and have been more deliberate about making sure those opportunities happen. So, for example, we have a community engagement program in which our artists go out into the community. They visit museums, galleries, civic sites. You know, we're right in Boston, which we're so fortunate to have so many opportunities for them to have amazing experiences out in the community, history, the arts, culture, civic life. So that's a big part of our program, and it's woven into their goal settings as well. And it gives them a chance to develop new relationships outside the staff and outside of the folks that they may live with and outside of their families, which is really, really important. And the other thing that we do, we haven't done as much since COVID, but this is a big goal for us in the coming year, is we've opened a new studio that we're calling Interactions. And we're going to bring in more visiting artists, residents, to work with our artists over longer periods of time. We're starting a digital photography program where artists are going to be given an opportunity to go out into the community, take pictures of community life, do the photoshopping and the editing work here, create exhibitions in our program, perhaps send some of them to the local newspaper. So these are just some of the things we're working on to expand that work.
Oh, that's really exciting to hear about all the different community-based opportunities. I like that it's giving the opportunity to go out and to get inspired by the places around you.
Yeah, it is amazing. And, you know, it's a lot of work. You have groups of artists who come with different needs and transportation, and there are challenges to do it, but it's really important. We don't want to be a sheltered workshop. We want to be a place that has rich relationships with the community and a place where the community feels welcome to come.
I could definitely see how that would be beneficial for the community and for the artist. So I did want to ask about some of the highlights. So I know Gateway Arts is celebrating 50 years. There's a lot, I'm sure, across the 50 years that you could highlight for different achievements, success stories, et cetera. But what have been some of your favorite highlights that Gateway Arts has accomplished since its operation started?
Like I said, I've only been here a year and a half. My predecessor was the director for 43 years. Ray Edelson was her name, really remarkable person who really took this program and professionalized it and grew it. But since I've been here, we've really accomplished a lot. Our 50th anniversary celebration was at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. We had over 500 attendees. About 50 of our artists came. Several of the artists were able to show their work in the museum, talk about it with the public. We raised over $400,000 to support a lot of this work. The support from the community has been tremendous. We had the author, Tom Parada. I don't know if you know Tom Parada's work. He's a local novelist, and he read examples of stories written by our artists to the audience at the MFA, which was really wonderful. Amy Brenneman, who's an actor whose own daughter is on the autism spectrum, she also read from our artist stories, and it was very, very powerful evening, powerful experience, I think, for everyone who was there. The lieutenant governor was there. That was really satisfying. We published a catalog called Art of the Possible. Beautiful catalog. I'd love to send you a copy if you're interested. Has essays about our program from disability rights advocates, from a curator, an arts and accessibility leader here in Massachusetts, kind of putting our program in context, stories about our artists, and of course, great examples of their work. We've sold hundreds of copies already. It's become really popular. Very proud of that. And like I said, we've made a lot of progress rebuilding our community program after it was largely on ice because of COVID. That's taken a lot of work. And then the other thing, of course, and you may hear about this from other, you know, other interviewees, which is about making sure that the workforce is supported so that my staff are well compensated, have good benefits, have a good work-life balance, because the success of our program depends on their well-being as well. So worked hard on that this year as well.
Well, that's great. There's a lot of different successes that have come out of the program. And I like that they're each unique in their own way, but really still showcase the empowerment aspect of the program and the work being done. So you had mentioned the exhibit for the beginning of the year. What are some other exhibitions that you have coming up or some themes that are coming up for the 2024 year?
The one that follows is Becoming, and that's will be a showcase of all of our current artists. And we're going to have a show here in our gallery. And right next door is the Brookline Public Library, which also has a large space. And they're going to show our artists' work. And we're going to have a big family community free celebration there on March 16th. We hope all of our artists will be there. There'll be music and dance and lots of good food. So that will be a highlight this year. That should be lots of fun. And we're in the early phases of planning for this, but I'll give you a sneak preview. We're going to do a fashion show. That's going to be pretty exciting. Gateway for many years did an annual fashion show. It fell out of fashion at some point in the mid-2010s, but we're going to bring it back, and that will be a lot of fun. Our artists create incredibly beautiful clothing and incredibly innovative and colorful. And I think the opportunity to model that work and to showcase it here and other places around Boston will be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's really exciting. It sounds like there are going to be some really good and exciting exhibitions then for 2024.
Yeah, sure.
That's really exciting. I love the fashion one.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that.
So you had highlighted some of the potential plans for the future of Gateway Arts. Is there anything else that you wanted to share that you have coming up or that you're working toward that you're really excited about?
Well, one challenge for our organization is our lease will expire in the middle of 2025. And we've been in this building here since 1980. And while the building has a lot of advantages, it's not the most accessible. It's an older building. It's a little over 100 years old. And so whether we decide to stay here or find a new facility, the major goal is to increase access. We want to make this program as accessible and as inclusive as possible for a range of disability. We want to break down as many barriers as we can to participation. So that, and you can imagine in Boston, the real estate environment, it's expensive, it's competitive, and it's going to be a big challenge for our program.
I can see that being a big goal to tackle, obviously, and it has to be tackled.
You know, very complex set of considerations, financial, programmatic, accessibility. So, but I've got a great group working with us on it and a lot of support. One of the goals over the next few months is to begin to survey our artists to ask them what they want to see in the building going forward. And that's going to be a big priority, is to take all of that information and make sure that their wants and needs and hopes and dreams are guiding our decisions too.
Oh, that's great that you're including their voices in the process too. The organization is all really about amplifying artists' voices. So I appreciate that they're obviously being considered within that decision.
Yeah, that's baked into everything we do, but you can't emphasize it enough.
And I appreciate that. That's such a big part of the work that you're doing. And for anybody who wants to either get involved as an artist, as a mentor, or wants to donate or purchase art, how would you recommend that they get involved?
So probably the easiest way is just start with our website, gatewayarts.org, and get on our mailing list. We have a weekly email. We're on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook. And please come visit. If you're in Greater Boston or visiting Boston, we're right near, can almost throw a stone to Fenway Park. So, you know, we're that part of the city. And it's a wonderful neighborhood and a really enriching visit if you get the chance.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to have all those links in our show notes for everybody listening. So the website and the links to the various things that we talked about in the episode too. But I want to thank you so much, Gregory, for joining us today, for talking about all the great work that Gateway Arts is doing and how you're really empowering artists with disabilities. It was just great to hear about. So thank you.
Thank you, Katie. And thanks for doing the work that you do. So important to get those voices out there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.